Welcome to the River of Life broadcast, a weekly ministry of South River Baptist. This year, we are studying the book of Hebrews about faith that endures. The journey of faith is filled with challenges and victories. Life-changing faith is not merely instinctive. It's not a happy feeling. It's an act of the will based on God's unchanging word. Now open your Bible to hear Pastor Chris Thompson share simple biblical truths to help us build faith to overcome life's temptations and trials. Here's Pastor Chris Thompson.
I'm in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll be turning there, as we're studying enduring faith this year and the faith that finishes. We want to have that kind of faith. In fact, what we're learning today in chapter 11 is what's essential to our relationship with God. It's faith. We need faith. Now listen, think about this for just a moment. Faith is, well, it's evident in life. Everyone exercises it. Whether we realize it or not, you have exercised faith today in many different ways on your way to worship. I mean, listen, you got into a car and you had faith in the one who sold it to you or the one who recently gave you your annual safety inspection that that brake was going to work or that accelerator wasn't going to get hung up. And that the engineer who designed that vehicle made a sound vehicle. You exercised faith. And you drove here, perhaps, driving over bridges. And you took the word of DOT that the engineer who designed that bridge and the builder who built it safely to support the weight not only of your vehicle, but tractor trailers and others who would go over that bridge. You exercised faith. You took their word. We entered into this building to worship this morning, and as we entered in, we took the word that it was a well-designed structure. And that the builder, you know, he didn't cut corners on the materials, or, you know, he didn't just throw it together when he made it, but he made a solid building that would be able to sustain the weight of the roof and everything. We took his word. In fact, when you finish worship today, you may go home this afternoon or this evening, and you may take a prescription, some medicine before you go to bed. Just exercising faith in your doctor's prescription, what he told you to do, why you needed to take that pill, believing his word that that capsule that you take would do precisely what the pharmacist prescribed it and said it would do, or what the company who made it said. We're taking people's word all the time and exercising faith. Now, notice that. You have to take someone's word and believe. Now, it's not just in those daily activities that we do. People do that in religion as well. They take someone's word. It might be the word of Muhammad. It might be the word of Joseph Smith. It might be the word of Buddha or of the Pope. The idolater puts his faith in an idol, which actually has a mouth but can't speak. But someone told him that that was God and that he should believe or her should believe in it. The secular humanist places their faith in themselves and the good of mankind. But what the world fails to realize is this: faith is only as good as the object in which you've placed it. The one in which you've placed your trust, your faith. Your faith is only as good as the one who's able to make it come to pass what you have believed. They are able to do. And the thing is, none of those individuals I mentioned can save. They don't have the power to save. They haven't provided what's necessary to be saved. And so the object of faith for all those who worship in that way is wrong. See, if the God that you worship is true, if the God that you worship is loving, gracious, merciful, if the God that you and I worship this morning is trustworthy, faithful to do what he says he's able to do because he has the power to do it, and in love, desires to do it. If our faith rests in that one, oh, beloved, then that's good faith. And that's the faith that we need. Now, why the focus on what people say and taking a step in believing them and trusting them and doing what they say? Well, we understand what Paul would say over in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. How does faith come? Faith doesn't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing specifically the word of God. You see, our God is a God who's heard, not a God who's seen. We don't see him. Well, except for when he spoke a final word. In fact, that's what's amazing about this book, this exhortation that we're studying, and why we need to listen, because this chapter 1 opened in Hebrews reminding us God has spoken. And God has spoken to the fathers in the past. He's spoken a whole variety of different ways. He gave them dreams and visions. He's spoken, and when he spoke to them, they believed him. But he's spoken to us now in a supreme way through the incarnation of his Son. And if we listen to that word and heed that word and put our faith in that word, then, beloved, we can experience salvation and deliverance. In fact, Paul is warned against the not hearing, when you hear the word of God, not acting in faith and going forward. Over in chapter 3, you can write this in the margin of your Bible, chapter 3, verse 12. He's warned about the danger of developing in our hearts a heart of unbelief. You see, the lack of faith destroyed Israel in the wilderness. That's what chapter 3 is all about. Today was the day of salvation. Today was the day for them to go forward, trusting, believing, not only what God had said, but God has the power to do what he says. That's an individual choice everyone has to make. So this exhortation Paul is giving is, he's saying, listen, don't be like that generation that lacked faith and didn't obey. In fact, that's what we saw just a couple weeks ago in chapter 10, verses, we heard, listen, let's draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Why? Because as we saw last week, we need a faith that endures to the end. I need that kind of faith. You need that kind of faith. It's the principle that's found in the Old Testament and Paul would bring over to the New in Romans chapter 1, highlighting what Habakkuk said and what he even repeated here up in verse 38. The importance that the just ones, the righteous ones, how do they live? They live by faith. It's not just how we're saved. Olivia and Benjamin passed through the waters this morning. They testified of their faith that saves them. But that's not the only faith they have to express in life. No, every day they're going to be taking bigger steps, bolder steps, I pray, of faith, trusting God, believing what he says, growing in their faith and understanding of how much God loves them and how much Jesus did for them. And as you and I learn more about ourselves, we learn more about our God who calls us to walk by faith. This is the faith that I need to possess this morning and you need to possess as well. It needs to grip us. And that's the question, honestly, you need to be able to ask yourselves this morning. If I'm saved by faith, do I have saving faith this morning? Is it evident? Well, who is your faith resting in, trusting in? Do you know that you know that you know? I'm trusting in Jesus alone to save me from my sins. My faith is evidence. There's works that testify my life has been changed. It's evident around me. There's fruit in my life which bears witness of the Spirit of God living within me. And it's evident to others. You see, that's what the Word of God is going to speak to us today. And this is alive. The question is, am I ready to hear? And am I ready to obey what God might say to me this morning? I want you to stand. We're going to focus here on chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. But I want to actually back up and start reading in verse 35. If you'll follow along with me there, where the therefore is. Because often, listen, when we read the scriptures, we have our verses and our chapter headings. And sometimes we don't see the whole flow, but when they went to worship, this whole letter, all 13 chapters, would have been presented or preached to the church. But we're just focusing on a few verses this morning. Notice what he says back in verse 35. Let's get a running start from last week where we were. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Notice this, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good testimony. Pray with me this morning. Father, what's our spiritual reputation? Reveal it today. Are we people who walk by faith? Is it evident in my life? Lord, may we be honest with you and ourselves this morning as we look into this mirror of your word. Lord, you call us to go forward in faith, to not draw back. You call us to trust you. Lord, it's the only way that we can be declared righteous is if we take you at your word and obey what you tell us to do. God, I pray that that's the fruit, the evidence of our life to others, Lord, as it has been to those who walked before us so faithfully. Spirit of God, I pray today, help us to examine our hearts and to be honest and to, Lord, as we look into this word, to hear you speak so that our lives can be transformed. They can be made new. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you that you're the one that makes faith possible by your grace. We love you. We praise you. Now we ask you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Paul has brought us to the great hall of faith. You've heard of the hall of fame. Maybe you're a football player and you watched the festivities a couple weeks ago as they inducted several into the hall of fame there in Canton, Ohio. This is the hall of faith that we're here in chapter 11 that we're entering into. Amazing examples of individuals in the Old Testament. And all they did was this. God spoke, and they took God at his word and chose to believe him. It's what you and I have to do. God speaks to us, and the question is, how will I respond? Now listen, students, your parents can't believe for you. Mom and dad, you can't believe for your children. They have to make their own choice. They're responsible for their own choice. Now, we want to model for them what it looks like to make that choice of trusting God and taking him at his word. And our life should evidence that so they go, man, I want to do what mom did. I want to do what dad did. I want to do what grandma and grandpa did. Multiple generations of faithfulness. That's what God desires. God desires that we take him at his word. And there's wonderful examples for you and I to see. Hey, look what they did. Look what they heard God say, and look how they went forward in faith. The Spirit of God works on our hearts, and we sang about it just a moment ago in that great hymn. I know not how the Spirit moves. I don't understand how it convinces, how it convicts, how it helps us to realize God has spoken, and I need to respond to that. I can't tell you how that works. We don't see the Spirit. We see, it's kind of like the wind, Jesus says. You see the effects of the wind. I can see the effect of on the Spirit when it works in someone's heart and life, when they take steps of faith, choosing to believe God is who he says he is, and able to do what he says he's able to do. This audience right here Paul was writing to in his day, they had to look back to Calvary, just like you and just like me. They looked back at the Messiah, Jesus, God's final word that was spoken. And the invitation throughout this book is to realize Jesus is better than everything over there in the Old Testament. But those Old Testament saints, they looked forward to Calvary. They looked forward to the promised one, the Christos, the Christ, the promised, anointed one that God said he would send. He said that over and over again in the Old Testament. Starting with the first man and the first woman in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, there. When God cursed the ground and when God cursed the man and the woman. Remember, he cursed the serpent and he told him, listen, enmity I'm going to put between your seed and her seed. You're going to bite him on the heel, but he's going to do what? Crush your head. Seemingly good fate for every snake, in my opinion, but that's another story. Amen. Even there, it went on that the first preaching of the gospel, not to Adam and not to Eve, but to the serpent, telling him what was going to happen because of what he had done. Going all throughout Scripture, you find over and over again these pictures, these promises that God gives of the coming Messiah. And Old Testament saints, they had to choose, will we believe what God says? Well, we believe that if you look upon the brazen serpent on the rod, that you will be healed, as Moses did with the saints there in the book of Numbers? Will we believe that? They had to look forward to the one that was promised, who would say, as David wrote a psalm, Psalm 22, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Or Psalm 16, which Winston just played, that messianic portion at the end of that song, you'll not allow your Holy One to remain in Sheol or in hell, or his body to undergo decay. Will there be a resurrection? Will God really do that? Do we believe that? They looked forward. They had to believe like you and I. In the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And that salvation would come through the Christos, the promised one that God would send. These believers, listen, they were wondering, they were wavering. Some were looking back at the temple. Some were looking at the priests and the sacrifices. And Paul's saying, listen, all those things are great, but they're just the shadows. The substance is Jesus. And it's the same way with the word. All the things that God has spoken, we have one final word in Jesus. Hear ye him. That's what Moses has said over in Deuteronomy. That a greater prophet would arise, a greater prophet than Moses. Hear ye him. See, he's not just the messenger from God. He is the message of God. He's the one that's not just the priest offering the sacrifice. He's the sacrifice too. We need to realize that. You have to have faith. You hear God speak. Will I believe it or not? In fact, they're suffering for the faith. We saw that in chapter 10. We saw that at the conclusion of it, that they were being public spectacles with reproaches and tribulations, hardships, trials they were going through. Some choosing to identify with some believers that had been incarcerated because they accepted Jesus and went that way. We don't know that in America. We don't experience that hardship like they did. We may one day. We can't take it for granted. But their faith was such that Paul was writing and encouraging them and reminding them, listen, you've had your goods plundered. You're suffering. You're being persecuted for the faith. Remain loyal, even in difficult circumstances. Why? Go forward. As we saw last week in chapter 10, God wants us to go forward. If anyone draws back, his soul has no pleasure in him. Beloved, we're running this race, as we'll see in chapter 12. We're running this race of faith, and you've got to fix your eyes on Jesus, who is God's word to us. And beloved, it's yea and amen in him. Why? Because when you get to the book of Revelation and you realize the one that's coming riding on that horse, the great conqueror, his name is Faithful and True. God faithful to every word he has spoken, true in what he has said. And so you hear the word, you believe the word, and you go forward in faith. And see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We haven't even got to that verse in chapter 11 here. We'll get down there in a couple weeks. But that faith is essential. It's how the just, the righteous ones live, taking God at his word. And there's going to be many, many examples that he's going to marshal. We're going to look at each one and look over in the Old Testament and see the faith that they exhibited and what it testifies for you and for me, how you and I should just follow in their footsteps and choose to believe. Do you believe that he is? Do you believe he's able to do what he says he can do? That's really what my life and your life should evidence. I mean, sometimes it'll appear that there's no way out, that there's no hope, and all you can do is trust in God. And that's how he calls us to live, going forward in faith. Over in chapter 6, verse 12, he spoke and he said, don't be sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promise. You see, when God gives his word, he makes a promise. That's why I need to open the word and hear God speak. And then I need to build my life on those promises of what God has said he will do, is able to do, trusting him. These believers had to display courage. Listen, it would be great for us as the people of God to display that courage as well in this day and age. In our generation, God calls us to do just that. When we're faced with adversity, there's only two options. Either we live by faith and go forward, pleasing the Lord, or we turn away and displease Him. There's only two options. There's no middle ground. To not go forward is not to exercise faith. It's a lack of, well, it's unbelief. Because faith works. Now, the works don't save us, but they bear witness that something's worked in us. Amen? That's what we need. This great hall of witnesses will reveal this, and that God spoke. I mean, stop and think for a moment. Had Noah ever seen it rain? No. Had Abraham ever seen the promised land? No. I always think about students today and this younger digital generation, all these digital natives who've grown up in it. And all you do is just quite simply pull out your phone, and now you just talk to it and say, you know, give me a map to such and such a place. And then they drive and follow it. And can I be honest? It isn't always correct. Have you noticed that sometimes? Things are changing so swiftly. That wasn't the way it was, students. There was this thing called AAA one day in the past. Y'all remember AAA? And you were going on a trip, and what did you do? You called your agent there, and what did you do? You said, give me a triptych. Give me a map. Give me the maps, right? Those great big maps that they're nice and folded neatly like this, and then you open up, and you're like, brr. Right? Stop and think about that. Abraham didn't have a map to the promised land. He couldn't ask Siri, draw me a map to the promised land. His map that he opened up was just a great big blank piece of paper or scroll in his day. He went forward by faith, going not knowing. He had to trust God would speak to him and tell him, turn right, turn left, stop. And that's all he did. He exercised faith. He didn't see, he heard. Now, this is critical to understand. Listen, we don't worship a God who's seen. We worship a God who is heard. He speaks to us. Now, one day, praise God, our faith will be sight. We will see. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. But right now, with eyes of faith, we see. All we have is He's spoken to us. He's spoken to us. And that's why this thing called faith is so vital. It's essential to our walk with the Lord. It's again, it's not just a head knowledge. As we pass through the waters, and I reminded the children today, the devil knows Jesus died, that he was buried, and he knows he rose again. But as James would say, they tremble because of that, the demons. So it's not just a head knowledge. Faith is more than that. Having the faith, believing, it's a transfer of trust. It's taking somebody at his word and saying, I leverage everything on that. I believe it. I'm going to put it all in right here. And it's the response to the promise of God, what he says he will do. It's the response to the God who is true and has spoken to us. Now this is not a formal definition here in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Those two key words, the substance and the evidence. Things hoped for, things not seen. There's a present thing that we do because we believe something about the future. We believe something is going to happen. It's the substance of things hoped for. The idea of substance here, the idea in the Greek is there's a foundation upon which we have our hope. There's a foundation upon which we build our lives. And that substance is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's essential. It's the basis for a relationship. It's the basis for a righteous life. It's tied to hope because it's believing in what will be. Not just what can be, but what God has said will be. And because there's the belief that it will be, faith acts. Listen, you may not see it with your eyes, Paul says, physically, but there's a spiritual sense in which you believe, based on the promise of God, God will bring it to pass. And so what we are doing is we are celebrating in the presence the reality of the future on objective grounds, the truth of what God has said. Now, that's a subjective expression. We have to personally make that profession of faith. We have to personally exercise that faith. But the objective reality is God who has spoken it and who has the only one who is able to bring it to pass. And so you and I, we take that step of faith and we hold on to it. And it's the foundation upon which we build our life and have our relationship with God. Taking him each day one step further, trusting and believing he is who he says he is. By the way, the elders who went before us, that's all they did. They believed what God said. The evidence of things not seen. What does this mean, the evidence? The idea here is a conviction. There's an inward conviction from God that what is promised, he will perform. Not all people say, I have beliefs. This is what I believe. And they can list their beliefs. But the truth is, sometimes they don't always believe that. A conviction is different. We hold beliefs, but convictions hold us. You know that you know that you know. You see, do you believe God is true this morning? I know he's true. Because if I don't know that, I'll waver in unbelief if I am not gripped by that truth today. It'll affect the decisions that I make, whether I take him at his word and go forward in faith. Do you believe God is faithful? Will he do what he says he's able to do? Does he have a track record? Is there anywhere that you and I can look and see that he has been faithful to what he's promised? That he's given us good evidence of that? Oh man, amen, this book. It's one of the reasons why I believe he's true to his word, because you know what? The God of this world is a liar. And I know that's not my God. No, my God is true. But he's also true to what he says, faithful to do what he says he's going to do. And so I take him at his word and I leverage everything on this book of what he has told me, because it reveals who he is and what he's able to do. And I have a conviction. So faith, listen, faith gives substance to unseen things. It doesn't make them appear. It doesn't make them happen. But it believes they will appear, and thus my actions, I act now because I believe God is who he says he is and can do what he says he's going to do. And you know what? That's what you need to exercise and demonstrate if you're a believer. If you've heard God speak, if you're going to take him at his word. Listen, faith is the basis for a good witness. By it, the elders obtained a good testimony. They bore a good witness. They bore a good rapport. You see, when God speaks, you have a choice. And all the illustrations he's going to marshal from the Old Testament, I mean, you walk down through here and you stop and you think, listen, when Enoch was walking and talking with God, you know what's amazing? No one had ever been translated before, whatever that means. We'll have to figure that one out. But all of a sudden, he was here and then he wasn't. He was gone. I think that's going to happen again, possibly, called a rapture. Amen. Yeah, God's got a track record of that. I think about Noah, again, that preacher of righteousness, Peter would say. Over 100 years, you know what he did? He built an ark. Why? Well, because it's going to rain. Why? What is rain? They had never experienced that. But he and his sons, his family, built that ark and then told everybody, hey, you better get in, because there's going to be judgment. What? No. Come on, Noah, it's been over 100 years. Nothing's happened. You better get in. It's almost finished. You better get in. But they didn't. And you know, it's going to be like that in the end times, Peter says. It's going to happen again. I mean, it just boggles my mind to stop and think. A generation that walked with Moses and God said, go forward, walk through that Red Sea. There's no way. I mean, come on. You're not going to walk on water. How's God going to open that up and make a pathway where you can walk right through? How is that? That's impossible. Not with our God, amen? And he demonstrated his power. He had already demonstrated his power with all the plagues. They should have just gone forward in faith, believing. I mean, what a track record they had had. I mean, all those miraculous things that he had done to get their attention, to help them to see. Amazing. But see, this is going to be a list of those who simply heard God speak. They obeyed. And that's what God wants us to do. That's what God wants you and I to do today. He has spoken to us in Jesus, and he wants us to receive that word and obey him and go forward in faith. That's the cycle. God speaks his word. Our hearts should be stirred to respond, and yet we then have to choose to obey and go forward in faith. When you do, you bear a good witness. Now listen, all of us are responsible for the word that God has spoken. One of my favorite Proverbs, Proverbs 13:13, it reminds us that God has spoken in a lot of different ways. The word has been spoken, and your disposition to what God says makes all the difference in your life. There's those, listen, that hear the word and they don't respond and they're destroyed. They're in debt to what God says to them, the Proverbs say. But those who reverence the command that God gives, they're rewarded. See, that's the choice. God speaks. What's the disposition of my heart when I hear him speak? And how do I respond? Well, these responded by going forward in faith. Now you say, was there any empirical evidence, or was it just a blind leap in the dark? No. What we had was the assurance of God, who spoke a true word and who was faithful to what he said he would do. Our faith rests in him. Now, even today we have more evidence than they did. Stop and think about that. I mean, we have eyewitnesses who saw the word in flesh. Eyewitnesses who saw him alive, saw him die, saw him buried, saw him rose again. We have more evidence than they did. We should have greater faith, just to be honest. They didn't have all the evidence we did, and yet they went forward in faith. And God's calling you this morning. He's calling me to lead our families to go forward in faith as well. Because everyone that exercises faith. You did this morning come in here, and you're going to do it as you leave here. But my prayer is that you would exercise faith this morning as a preacher of God's word, that you would hear God speak, and you would choose to trust him and take him at his word. It's the first step is a step of faith. I believe God is who he says he is, holy, and I know I'm not. I'm a sinner, and I can't save myself. I believe his assessment of me, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I believe that's true. And I believe that God has demonstrated his love to me, and that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And I believe that the penalty I deserve, the wages of sin is death. That's what I deserve. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I believe that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I choose to believe that. But I also choose to act upon it. I choose to trust in Jesus. That's the first step in the journey of faith. You have to trust in the word that has been spoken to us, Jesus. And then what you and I learn to do as we grow in our knowledge of who God is and who we are and why we need to trust him, then we learn each day to take another step of faith. I heard him speak. I'm going to believe him. I heard him speak. This is what I need to do with my finances. This is how I need to live my life. Trusting in him as my provider. Looking to him to bless and that I do more with less when I trust him. This is what I need to do in shepherding my children and parenting them and how I should do that. This is how, as a husband and a bride, we set the example of God's love for us and Christ's love for the church. And so I'm going to live my life. Here's the promise that one day he's going to reward my faith. And he's going to come through those clouds and a trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be gone like that. And so I trust and obey. I trust and obey. And I exercise faith because that's how the saints lived. And that's how you and I have to live. And so, in fact, it's evident in my life. Why? Because I open the word, not just on Sunday. I open up throughout the week. God, speak to me. God, give me a promise. God, show me the way I should live. Help me to Help me to renew my mind, put off the old and put on the new as I hear the word and I order my life according to the word. And I begin to realize, man, these promises, they're real, they're true. And I want to glorify God by my life. Does that describe your life? Is that the evidence? Is that the reputation we have, the spiritual reputation we have? That's what they had. The elders had this testimony, a good testimony. And that's what we should want, one that honors the Lord when he speaks. I don't need to quibble about it. I don't need to argue with him. I just choose to trust him. And then I say, speak to me more. Speak to me more. When my heart rebels, it's unbelief. It's a drawing back. And see, listen, you can say, well, wives haven't made my decision yet. Oh, yes, you have. You see, because to not go forward in faith is to not believe. And that's unbelief. And so it's a choice. It's a choice. But for everyone this morning, everyone in the sanctuary, watching online, listening on the radio, all of us right now are making a choice. What am I doing with the word God has spoken to me? And if I believe this morning, and if you believe this morning, that he is true and he is trustworthy, he is faithful to all of his promises, then beloved, we should be running to him. We should run this race of faith, fixing our eyes on Jesus. The things that trip us up, throw them aside. I don't want that anymore. I want him, and I want to hear what he has to say, and I want to live a life that not only believes that he is, believes he'll reward those who seek him. Is that your testimony today? A heart that hears and wants to obey, trusting in the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the River of Life broadcast. If you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please call us at South River at 704-876-1520 or email us at hope@southriverbaptist.com. We also want to know how this program has blessed your life. Please send us a note and let us know you are listening and how our church family can pray for you. We invite you to join us here next Sunday or at our church location at 2659 South Chipley Ford Road in Statesville.